This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
John Whitehead joins me live in studio. He is a constitutional attorney, best-selling author, and he is the founder and CEO of the Rutherford Institute. His most recent book is The Change Manifesto, which is available online or in local bookstores and required reading for regular listeners of this program. It's a fantastic book, and I urge you to get a copy. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I think this is your first appearance on the show this year.
That's right.
Yeah. How was your holidays? Is it too late to ask that?
Busy. Yeah, I worked. I actually worked Christmas morning. So.
Oh, you're kidding. Did you really?
Yeah. I put a lot of hours in, yeah.
Goodness. What were you working on Christmas morning?
Writing.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Well, you churn out these commentaries, and for folks who don't know, you write a weekly, is it weekly commentary?
Weekly.
Which appears in publications, newspapers all over the country.
Huffington Post.
Huffington Post as well, and it's also, you can see it online at rutherford.org. They're available as well, and we like to bring in once a month just to sort of talk about some of these commentaries and your perspective on some recent current events. Your office has been busy? You've got a lot going on?
Yeah, we're getting calls from all over the country. I mean, it's amazing. It's been a lot of problems. As our name gets out there, and it's been out there quite a while, there's a lot of need and a lot of hunger for help out there. We can't always do it, but you know, we're getting a lot of, you know, just general, you know, police, people objecting what the police are doing, or they're wanting to sue Obama because they think he's not a citizen, those kind of crazy things. But we get the legitimate stuff, First Amendment cases, people that can't, the cities have told them they can't have a, during the election, they couldn't have a sign supporting Obama or McCain in their front yard. And we just won a case on that. We won a case on a group just recently, it's probably going to be appealed in West Virginia, that was, you know, soliciting in a park for candidates, and they told they couldn't do it. We won so far in that case. But
are these usually local municipalities that have not read our Constitution in a while?
Yeah,
is that what it is?
There's just a lot of ignorance out there with the most people don't know the Bill of Rights. That's why I brought some Bill of Rights along today for people to read.
We have some. The compliments of the Rutherford Institute, your complete guide to the Bill of Rights. And we have 10 copies here. We'll give those away to any caller that wants one. Just give us a call right now at 977-1070, the Rutherford Institute Guide to the Bill of Rights publication here. And it's yours if you want one at 977-1070.
Yeah, I think that the main problem we see across the country, people just don't know what the law is. They have in public schools, academic public schools, when kids, I mean, I've had some students recently come in from high schools in this area, and they're upset by what's happening in the schools. And you know, I'm not one to say don't go cause trouble. I think that's a good idea. I think we need more debate in the schools. And but what I like is a lot of the young kids coming in. They've read the Bill of Rights now, and they want to know how far can we push it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I think that our schools need to be more open to that. Engage debate. Set up some. These kids need an outlet, and I don't think they're getting an outlet in the schools. But your average American doesn't know it. You know, a recent poll shows that a lot of people in Congress have no idea what's in the Bill of Rights. So
right,
it's just an epidemic problem.
You would expect, or maybe I'm naive to expect, that in America the powers that be would err on the side of too much freedom, because this is America after all. That's what we were founded on. But just the opposite is the case. Too often they err on the side of less freedom. Well, we don't know, so we're going to tell you to be quiet and put your sign away.
Well, it's just like, you know, it's political correctness is running amok in the country, and we've talked about that before in this program. But, you know, well, I was a little surprised, but not too surprised, that I think with the third day that President Obama was in power, on his website, he immediately announced he was going to sponsor hate crime legislation, which we've opposed at the Rutherford Institute.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Basically thought crime punishment, which we don't know how far you can take that. But, you know, most civil libertarians that I know, from Nat Hinhoff on down, that I've worked with over the years, are really upset by that. So, you know, it's just, I think that...
It's never made sense to me.
It doesn't
murder is murder. You don't have to prosecute somebody for the thoughts they had while they were committing the murder.
It's punished to the hilt. Yeah, what they use it for is it's a pile-on effect. We won't pile on the hate crime. if you'll confess here. And you'll probably get some people confessing so they won't be sent away forever. But I think what we're seeing across the country is that there's just a disrespect for free speech in America today. And I think that we just need to stay very strong, talk about it, fight for it, because that is what we're fighting for, the right to free speech. I think that's the first one. And then is the other is the right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures. We'll talk about that in just a moment, more with the surveillance state. But, I mean, that's widely just kind of disregarded by a lot of our governmental agencies.
We're talking with John Whitehead, the CEO, the founder of the Rutherford Institute. We're going to take a very quick break. And when we get back, we'll discuss the danger of Obama with John Whitehead. This is Charlottesville Right Now. We can work it out. We can work it out. We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. Now, the danger of Obama is the title to your latest commentary, which has yet to be published. So this is nice, a little preview of an upcoming commentary.
Yes.
What is the danger of Obama?
Well, I start the commentary off by quoting James Madison, the author of the First Amendment and the Constitution, the so-called father of the Constitution, who said, "All men having power ought to be mistrusted." That's really the basis of American government. What I see with Barack Obama so far, and I like Barack Obama, is just sort of this comparing him to Jesus Christ and Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King. We don't know yet, to be honest with
you.
Even civil libertarians, I'm surprised at some of the websites and some of the emails I'm getting from groups that I work with, like ACLU, just basically fawning right now. I think we need to keep...
The most recent copy of The New Yorker actually has Obama dressed up like George Washington.
Yeah, I think we need to be careful. Obama mania... It may turn out to be false enthusiasm. I hope not. But as I point out in the commentary, all the problems are still there. And it would be easy to buy into the idea that with one stroke of a pen, Obama is going to change everything. But that's not going to happen, folks. The national deficit is going crazy. What we see, and again, they're admitting now that the bailout package is not even going to affect the economy until 2010 or 2011. We live in a surveillance state still. Satellites are focused on American citizens. They're listening to our phone calls. The National Security Agency has been listening on Americans' phone calls since the 1960s. They're not going to relinquish that power. Most likely soon we'll be carrying a national ID card under the Real ID Act, which will have the most sophisticated information from your Social Security number to your biometric information to your buying habits, and eventually it'll have electronic tags on it. Probably will track you wherever you go. The American military empire, $700 billion a year, not only does it tremendously drain the economy, and there's no argument there, but... our constitutional freedoms are threatened by it. There are 20,000 military troops now training in the United States to become policemen, essentially, in violation of the Posse Comitatus Act and everything the Founding Fathers. You don't want the military becoming the police. There's a different function. Police serve and defend. The military shoots and kills. Our political structure, Congress, is riddled with corruption. My commentary last week on that, which stirred up a few folks, was on the fact of how corrupt Congress is. All those problems were there. So is there any hope in all that? Oh, sure, there's hope, but we have to go back and study the wisdom of the people who wrote the Constitution, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson. Remember, Jefferson said we needed a revolution every 20 years, essentially. And what they were trying to say is not really a revolution in the true sense of the word, but we have to... watch those in power. I do remember when Bill Clinton came into office, the ceremony that, the enthusiasm Bob Dylan played at the inaugural event and all that. And Bill Clinton was going to change the world. And a lot of people were disillusioned. And then we ended up with George Bush, who, in my opinion, is the worst president that in my lifetime. So we just have to be very careful. We have to stay vigilant. Praise the president when he does good things, and when he moves in the wrong direction, we have to say you're moving. That's our job. Remember, Constitution starts with three words: "We the people." Nancy Pelosi's not the government. Barack Obama's not the government. We are the government, and we have to hold them accountable always. And we have to object. I mean, we can't assume that everything's going to be wonderful. Not in this world that we live in. Not with the government we have. And Constitutional authority I work with, one of the best I work with, a fellow named Aziz Huck out of the Brennan School of Justice at NYU. He just wrote an article, and I'll just quote from it. And he was critical of Obama and some of the appointments Obama has made in his administration. He said, "No one should assume that the end of the Bush presidency marks the end of the imperial presidency." So we still have a very strong government with dictatorial powers.
Because all the tools that Bush-Cheney put in place are still there.
Beginning with Clinton, probably beginning with the Reagan administration on through, but really just accelerating during the Bush years. And I mean, how many people know that before Bush left office, he signed an executive order, which is still in force, which basically allows the intelligence agencies, the FBI, to give equipment and training to local police to be extensions of the intelligence agencies. Most people don't know that. All that's in
the
power.
FBI can turn your local police force into an extension of itself.
Exactly. That's so that seems where it's headed.
So yeah. So officers with the City of Charlottesville Police Department could overnight become an extension of the FBI if the FBI wanted to do that.
If they wanted to, You know, I'm not the only one saying this. You know, we're one terrorist attack away from moving into martial law, even under Barack Obama at that point. I mean, there's nothing else he could do, but all the power is there. So, again, what should we be doing? That's why I bring 10 of my little pamphlets over on the Bill of Rights. We need to know what our Constitution says. We need to enforce it. And let Barack Obama hear your opinion. If you don't agree, tell him you don't agree.
Yeah, whether you voted for him or not,
it doesn't really matter.
Your job is your responsibility, and your job as a citizen in a free country is to be very suspicious of everything he does, and question it. And if you like it, let people know. And if you don't like it, let people know.
All men having power ought to be mistrusted. That was James Madison. He wasn't saying that you hate him, but just watch him closely. That's our job, and we forget that. We want to think that the government's going to fix all our problems, but let me ask you, how many times has the government fixed our problems?
Amen. So. John Whitehead, the founder of the Rutherford Institute, we're honored to have him live in studio, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Before we break here at the bottom of the hour, you mentioned this other commentary you wrote about the culture of corruption in Congress. Talk about that.
Yeah, I just... more in a few minutes probably, but, you know, Congress just gave itself a pay raise, almost $5,000. And when I saw that, of course, I went, well, that kind of blows my mind. 860,000 people have lost their homes to foreclosure in 2008. 37 million Americans are living on the poverty line. That includes 12% of our senior citizens, and they're getting a pay raise. Not only that, but most of them, they get a six-figure salary. They have offices in our nation's capital, at home, free life insurance, a generous retirement plan for life, 32, this is the most amazing, 32 fully reimbursed trips home a year. They say they live in California. We're paying for all that. Travel to foreign lands, $10 haircuts at the barbershop. They get to use the gym. Free fresh cut flowers. Limousine service.
And they get their. They continue to get their salary after they retire.
Yes.
I mean, you could be voted into Congress. When you come out, you still get your salary for the rest of your life.
Well, most of them go to work for firms that they make connections when they're in power. So that's quite troubling, you know, and people, it's no wonder that, you know, USA Today poll now shows that Congress has a 19% approval rating. There are representatives. Were they watching over Wall Street? Obviously not. Basically, if they were doing the kind of job that, if we did that kind of job at our job, we'd lose our
job. You get fired.
Job. We get fired, yeah. So, paying for all these crazy things, you know. And Obama, again, made a good move here. He froze all salaries over $100,000 in the White House. That's a good symbolic move. And I think he was hopefully sending a message to Congress, hey, freeze the raise and save the money for the folks.
Yeah.
And do your job.
John Whitehead is the founder of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. Joins us once a month to talk about his most recent commentaries. We're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour for local news and weather and continue this conversation on the other side. And we invite you to join that conversation at 977-1070. John Whitehead is with us live in studio. He is the founder of the Rutherford Institute, constitutional attorney of note, and his latest book is The Change Manifesto, which I strongly encourage you to pick up a copy of and read. It's available in local bookstores, or you can find it online, The Change Manifesto. What's been the reaction to that book, by the way?
It's been good. I mean, it sells like a book like it sells. It's like an encyclopedia, you know. It's slow but steady.
And yeah, yeah.
The most heartening thing is the emails I get from people who have read it, and they're either don't know why things have happened the way they happened, the way I set them out in the book. But I think the latter part of the book, the last three chapters, are sort of the hope section of the book, saying what people can do, and people.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it'll,
it's a real prescription for civic activism.
It's
you know?
A long shelf life book that people can read. And yeah, you can go into it like, well, my friend Nat Hinhoff called and said he wanted another copy. He said, I've already marked the first one up so much. So it's that book for that kind of person who really is interested in the Constitution and wants to do something about what's happening in the country.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like I keep telling people, everything in that book is still very, very relevant. A lot of it pertains to George Bush, but it's not going to go away very quickly. Government, the philosophy is that government does not relinquish power easily, and usually it doesn't relinquish power at all. So we're going to have a lot of those problems still with us that George Bush left with us. The FBI is going to be there intervening in local affairs more and more. The Department of Homeland Security is becoming a very scary agency. We had some people from a small town in Nebraska. They emailed me some pictures. They were all freaked out because there were these strange vans driving around their streets. It was Homeland Security vans.
In Nebraska?
They couldn't figure out why they were there. I mean, but they have a lot of money to spend, and they're investing in all kinds of strange gadgets. spy gadgets. So I think that again, we have to be vigilant. The book's a good book to read. Read the commentaries. Other people out there that are fighting these important cases.
John, what do you say to folks who might be listening? And there's a fair amount of them here in America who believe that that this is just hyperbolic. That we have to take these steps to protect ourselves. That these are extraordinary times. We have people who want to destroy America like never before, and they're willing to die for the cause to see American cities in ruin. And if we have to violate the Constitution just a little bit to keep America safe, then so be it.
Well, I think, again, we go back. I've had people argue with me, at least George Bush kept us safe from the terrorists. And my response on that is very quickly is, no, it happened on his guard. And if you go back and
remember.
It
happened on his watch, right?
On his watch, yeah. Yes. And the thing there was is that the intelligence agencies didn't follow up on the intelligence. They didn't do their job. And that's why it happened. It wasn't, they didn't do good police work. And there are times when you have to do good police work. That doesn't mean you have to completely undermine the Constitution to do it, to do good police work. I mean, most people, there are circumstances you need to wiretap, listen to people's phone calls. Sure, based on reasonable position, the idea that criminal activity is afoot. That doesn't mean the National Security Agency should just listen to any phone call they want to, no. So, yeah, there are ways you can do it. I mean, we're all for good police work and evidence and criminal activities out there, but I don't. Why should they listen to Coy Barefoot's phone calls or my phone calls?
Right.
Which,
right.
To be honest with you, they probably do. So we just don't know. But if you'll see my book, The Change Manifesto, when I researched the National Security Agency, I was so surprised to find that back in the 1960s, they had already started listening to American citizens' phone calls. That violates the Fourth Amendment. It's unreasonable search and seizure. Unless you're committing a crime or you're thinking of committing a crime, they have some evidence, which means they should have to go to a judge and get a search warrant to listen to you. Not they just shouldn't just be able to dial up and listen.
And they started in the 60s.
They shouldn't be able to listen on this radio, interview if it's a suspected criminal activity without, some suspicion. Why did they snoop? Why did the National Security Agency put vans out in the streets in Baltimore when 10 Quakers wanted to walk down the street and listen to what they were saying? Why do they do that? Because they've gone too far. So that's why the Constitution's there. It's to protect us against that kind of activity. If we don't stay vigilant, it's basically what Benjamin Franklin said, if you want security over liberty, you don't have either one of them.
We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute, and the phone lines are open for your comments and questions at 977-1070. Susan is on line one. Susan, thank you so much for the call. You're on with John. Go right ahead.
Hey, this isn't quite on the subject you were talking about, but talking about James Madison, who, by the way, I think was a genius. I found a quote of his that I wish the Congress and Senate would have framed up there. Apparently, Madison was horrified when Congress appropriated $15,000 to help French refugees. And Madison's quote was, "I cannot undertake to lay my finger on that article of the Constitution which granted a right to Congress of expending on objects of benevolence the money of their constituents."
Ooh.
So, boy, wouldn't he be horrified right now.
Today, too, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what I mean. So that's about all they do anymore, spend money on our money on things they deem necessary. So,
and they spend it on themselves a lot.
Yeah, they sure do. So that was just my thought for the day, my Madison quote.
Good stuff. Hey, Susan, do you have the pamphlet guide to the Bill of Rights from the Rutherford Institute?
I called up for that a few minutes
ago. You got one. So. Okay, good.
All right, thanks.
Good deal. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Got a phone line open, 977-1070. We're talking with John Whitehead. Tell us about your recent commentary, "We Remember the Dead by Helping the Living."
Yeah, we've taken up the case of Big John Mishka. Some of you may know Big John, who causes quite a bit of commentary in the local community. He's from Rutgersville, but you know, he's a commander of a local Veterans of Foreign Wars committee. John goes up on the National Mall and hands out buddy poppies, the little red poppies. And those poppies are assembled by disabled veterans to help pay for their, you know, their needs. And it goes back. Any proceeds that are received from those poppies that Big John hands out, already any veteran hands them out, goes back to help the veterans. But he goes up there and he hands them out, and he has a little bucket then people can drop money in. He's been routinely harassed, arrested once, fined for doing that. We finally filed a First Amendment lawsuit saying he has a First Amendment right to be up there on the National Mall doing that. But
they're trying to get him off the mall because like he's panhandling or something.
Yeah, and I think they don't know the First Amendment. They have a law there against panhandling and people that actively solicit. It doesn't really apply to him. I don't think they understand the First Amendment. So we filed a federal lawsuit. But in the process of looking into that, I started looking into more of what we do with our homeless. But another thing, Big John travels up twice a week to Walter Reed Hospital. He helps with a buffet. He does all kinds of neat things for the veterans. But, you know, on any given night, 200,000 veterans are homeless in this country. 23% of all homeless people in this country are veterans. And
that's amazing. 23% of homeless people are veterans.
I receive emails and calls from wives of people coming back from Iraq saying they can't get help from the VA. It's delayed. They can't find jobs when they come back. And so there's all kinds of problems. There was a scandal at Walter Reed Medical Center about their sluggish responses to helping out with.
And the suicide rate among veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan is
very high.
It's really frightening.
It's frightening. Yeah. So we've got a real problem here. Then you got someone up there who's really trying to do something good and worthwhile, and you have the park police harassing him all the time. And so he called me, and we looked at the case, and we said, "We think you have a First Amendment right to hand out the buddy pie." He just hands them to people that ask for them. And then he may engage and talk, but he never asks for money. But if people want to drop the money in, it's not the kind of people who grab you and push you and pull you to get money. That's what those laws are for. It's not for guys like Big John Mishka. So
he's out there with a First Amendment message, help our veterans.
Yeah, and a good message. So we think it's a worthwhile issue, and I think that hopefully the government will think twice and say, "Hey, let's not push this too far," because these lawsuits are expensive, folks.
We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. You also wrote recently about the worldwide danger of religious fundamentalism.
Yeah, I'm part of a coalition. The Rutherford Institute is with the American Jewish Congress and a number of groups, some Muslim groups. What's happened, and again, unbeknownst to most people if you don't really keep up with this kind of news, the Organization of Islamic Countries has become quite a force in the United Nations, and they've been lobbying. And the United Nations has basically agreed, and they've passed this defamation of religion statutes and resolutions, which have basically criminalized any kind of criticism of fundamentalist Islamic religion around the world. It'd be criminalized in certain countries. So I wrote a commentary against it, and also have participated with the American Jewish Congress and some other groups that have protested this, hopefully to slow it down, but it's not. I mean, right now there's a Dutch fellow who has criticized the Islamic faith quite heavily, and he's in a court of law in Denmark fighting for his right to stay out of jail because of that. That's what happened. So we wouldn't want that to spread to the United States. In fact, it has. I mean, there's just if you keep up with the facts, you know, I have a commentary on that. You should go read, but it's quite detailed. But, you know, in 2002, a history professor at an Iranian university was sentenced to death for apostasy, for questioning the rule of clerics in Iran. This shows you what could happen. In February 2007, an Egyptian internet blogger was sentenced to 4 years in prison for insulting Islam. On down the list. So there's a lot of that going on. So we've joined with, a good coalition of people, the International Quranic Center, American Jewish Congress, to protest this kind of stuff. Free speech is what it's all about.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned about any kind of fundamentalism, if it's secular fundamentalism, religious fundamentalism. The idea that we have a set of 10 doctrines, and if you violate those doctrines, you're somehow unholy or unworthy, and you don't have a right to criticize me. And, again, I really believe in open free speech, openly criticizing. People criticize me all the time. That's okay. But I think that we have to, again, be on our guard. Even worldwide, this is happening. I mean, it's very strong. You have the United Nations passing a resolution in favor of that. So that would mean you could be extradited.
I heard nothing about that.
Yeah, you could be extradited from another country.
So the United Nations is passing a resolution telling their member states that that it's against the law, however that would be applied, to criticize the Islamic faith.
It passed by a vote of 86 to 53. But here's the thing. The Declaration of Human Rights, which was passed by the United Nations in 1948, says very clearly you have the right to the freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. The right includes the freedom to change your religion, belief, freedom, blah, blah, down the list. Yeah, so they're buying their own charter.
Yeah. Yeah.
But see, again, it's I think there's a certain fear, and also, again, I go back to one of my unfavorite phrases, political correctness. People just don't want to offend anybody these days. But remember, as James Madison said, to quote him again, when he stated the purpose of the First Amendment, it's there to protect the minority against the majority. And what he was saying, there's going to be those folks out there who aren't going to agree, and sometimes they're going to be extremists. They're going to appear to be extremists, but they have a right to be extreme and say what they want to say.
Yeah. In a sense, we're still fighting the Enlightenment, and we're still fighting for the principles of the Enlightenment.
Yeah, I think America, to be honest with you, I've been practicing in this area for over 30 years, and it's getting worse. People have less knowledge about our rights. I mean, I came out of the 60s when people were all free speech and protest. By the time Ronald Reagan hit, it was being muted, and after 9/11, people were ready to give away everything. But I think it's shifting back some, but just being vigilant.
Yeah.
Raising the issues, being on good shows like this.
And it's an important point to make. Thank you. It's an important point to make, good because you're here. It's an important point to make that Madison, this idea that you protect the ability of the minority to speak out against the majority. You don't have to endorse the speech that you don't like, but you have to endorse somebody's ability to say it.
Well, it's the minority. For example, there's this guy, Fred Phelps of the Westboro Baptist Church, which pickets funerals of fallen servicemen because he says America approves of homosexuality. I mean, the guy's off the chart.
Yeah.
But I've come out in his defense openly saying he has a right to be out there saying what he says. He may be a little wacky, but that's his right. You know, even Fred threatened to picket me once at the Ruth Institute because he said I liked homosexuals or something, and he never showed up. But the thing is, I think we have to be willing to go to the mat. And when he says minority there, I think he's talking about not folks like you or I generally, people consider to be the extremists. That's who it really protects.
Yeah. We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. You can learn more online at rutherford.org. Before we let you go.
But the thing is, what we define as extreme, I mean, the Park Service defines John Mischka as extreme. And they're putting him out. They don't want him to be able to do what he's doing up there on the National Ball, hanging on his buddy poppies. So the definition of what is extreme changes over time.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Remember during the 1950s, the McCarthy era? If you stand up in a meeting and said, I like communists, you would lose your job probably
at that point
in time. Again, political correctness.
Once upon a time, under John Adams, it was extreme to be French and live in America. They sent you home.
Yeah, exactly.
Your commentary, The Forgotten Man in the War on Terror.
Yes. Yeah, we filed a brief in on behalf of a fellow named Almari, who was a student at Bradley University in Peoria, Illinois, getting his degree. He was charged with credit card fraud, false statements to the FBI, blah, blah, blah. A number of charges. Those were quickly dropped, and George Bush declared him an enemy combatant for whatever reason. He disappeared basically for 5 years in a brig, couldn't see his family or his lawyers, and went again a number of interrogation techniques, you know, from water torture to whatever. Isolation therapy, deprivation, sleep deprivation, torture. And finally, the Supreme Court's going to hear the case. And we've joined with a number of groups and former attorney generals, whatever, to file a brief saying that the Supreme Court hear this case. What this case is good. I keep telling folks that say, well, gee, maybe he is a terrorist. Maybe he is. But What he has a right under our Constitution, under the Bill of Rights, is the right to go before a court and at least plead his case. That has not happened yet. To have effective counsel when he's there. We just want to know if he's guilty. He may not be guilty. We just don't know. So that was the problem with this whole enemy combatant process that George Bush went through. Hopefully President Obama's going to reverse all of that. But I think there's a good shot the Supreme Court's going to – does the president really, under our Constitution, just have the right to look at Coy Barefoot and say he's an enemy combatant and you disappear and you can't see your lawyer or go before a judge? We're not saying set them free. We're saying give them what we call due process, the right to go before a court. America supposedly stands for rule of law, but most places – until Obama came into power – wherever you went worldwide, it was thought that America didn't believe in that because of Guantanamo, and hope that's going to be dismantled.
What should we do with those folks down there, John?
I always thought, you know, again, George Bush could have looked really good. It'd been a good PR move, but I don't know how George thinks. He should have just set up a commission of federal judges, and they should have brought all those fellows in, heard their pleas, some of them might, and see if there was any evidence, and moved them on. Some of them might be guilty. Just wouldn't do it. Been easy. He shouldn't have waited until Obama got into office to dismantle that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they all need a right. If they're going to be on American soil or under American custody, our Constitution should apply, and they deserve rights. Again, the world watches us to set the standard. We can't go to another country and say we're spreading democracy when we have people locked away. Won't let them see a lawyer. It doesn't really match what we're... You know, it's kind of hypocritical.
Yeah.
And the world sees it as that. That's why George Bush was not liked. And I think that's why Barack Obama is going to be liked much better, because he's at least moving in the right direction in some ways.
John Whitehead, constitutional attorney, author. His latest book is The Change Manifesto. He is the founder and the CEO of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. It's been an honor to have you here, sir.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.